This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome to the People Speak Radio. I'm your new host, Cindy Sheehan. This is my first time hosting the show. I've been on it a few times, so hopefully get all the bugs and the kinks worked out and get my bearings. And we're going to have a great show. We're having Mike Whitney, a friend of mine who's been on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox several times. But I just want to let you know that hopefully I'll be on every week from now on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on the People Speak Radio on BBS Radio. And if you're coming here from listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox for the past 8 years, I welcome you doubly. And I will be archiving these shows at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox every week. And if you're listening live, I hope you call in. Let me find the call-in number. It's, if you want to call in and interact live, Don, I don't know if it's station one or station two, but there's a number that I'll get as soon as I figure out if you're trying to call station number one or station number two. But we'd love to have questions and comments from our listeners. So it's number two. So the number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. And like I said, we welcome questions and comments from the listeners. So also, like the Soapbox, we're going to hold all sides of the political spectrum. Oh, Tim from Minnesota, we already have a caller.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi there, Tim.
Hi, Cindy. We met 2 years back when you were living with John, or you were visiting in Minnesota. You were staying with Marie and John Brown.
Right, right. Yes. Do you just, is that
but
the question that you,
I just listened to an hour of Indivisible Radio.
Pardon me?
I just listened to an hour on NPR of Indivisible Radio where people are commenting about the present deal regime and so on and so forth.
Right.
But it was interesting who you have invited for your guest is a lot of people that I know.
Yes, like we are. It's called the People Speak Radio. So we're hoping that we'll get a lot of people who are not in the mainstream, not on the corporate news. So, Tim, it was nice talking to you and thank you for your call. And I hope you enjoy the show. And I just want to let everybody know that, you know, the People Speak Radio will be holding everybody on the political spectrum accountable, even Democrats. And if you know me, if you know Cindy Sheehan, if you've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, then you know that we hold especially Democrats accountable, because it seems like the Democrats are, like Julian Assange just said, the Democrats are sheep in wolf's clothing and the Republicans are wolves in wolf's clothing. But bottom line is they are both in wolf's clothing. So I'd like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, I guess. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the origins of Valentine's Day before we get to our caller, Mike Whitney, who is an author and activist. And there's several origin stories of St. Valentine's Day, but my favorite is one legend that contends that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome, when Emperor Claudius II decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families. he outlawed marriage for young men. Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young lovers in secret. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death. So he was a martyr for the anti-war cause, really. That's why I like that legend of Valentine's Day, because it does have an anti-war message to it. And before we talk to Mike, I hope we'll be getting Mike on the phone soon. I'd like to talk about, my story, you know that my son was killed in Iraq on April 4th, 2004, and the United States is still involved in that country. When Barack Obama was president, he bombed 7 or 8 countries in the Middle East and other Islamic countries. And so one of my Facebook friends pointed out to me that the people of Iraq right now are mourning 26 years ago that the United States bombed an air raid shelter in the Baghdad suburb of Amariya, killing 408 civilians. So I just wanted to mention that that is one tragic day in U.S. imperialist history. And U.S. imperialist history has many, many days that we could mention, many tragic days of war and of oppression, of occupation, of mothers crying in Iraq, in America, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Yemen. It's just really awful that for 8 years Barack Obama was president and there was very little outcry from the so-called left in this country about all his wars and oppression. All of a sudden, Donald Trump is president, and the liberals have been protesting him since before he was inaugurated for everything under the sun, except, amazingly, the continuation of war and empire. And Mike Whitney, when he gets on the line, gets on the show, and I hope he's on pretty soon because I'm ready to interview him, he will be talking about that. He will be talking about the double standard of liberals and where were they protesting during Obama's wars. And we really need an anti-war voice, and we hope that the people speak. In the tradition of Howard Zinn, I remember his book called The People Speak, the history, the people's history of the United States. I hope in that tradition we can get many voices on who will speak against war and empire, and not just the issues that are that I think are wedge issues that liberals can protest about certain things. And thank you. And liberals can protest about certain things, but not usually war, empire. So, Mike Whitney, welcome to the People Speak Radio.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, it's so nice to talk to you again. I was telling my listeners that you were on the soapbox several times. So you are my inaugural guest for me hosting the People Speak Radio here on BBS Radio.
Oh, my gosh, I'm honored. I hope I don't bore your listeners to death.
Well, I don't think so. I got a hold of you back in December, but you were ill, and right after I touched base with you to have you on the soapbox, my sister Dee Dee went into hospice, and then she ended up passing away 12 days after she went into hospice. So as soon as I was offered the slot to host the show, you were the first person that I thought of because I had already touched base with you, and you're never boring.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm very sorry to hear about your sister.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying to get back into the swing of things, so thanks for helping us. Mike, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself if they're not familiar with your work.
Well, there's not a lot to tell. I don't have a real large bio because, like so many people probably listening to this program, I was a blue-collar worker for 30 years running my own landscape business. And then after 9/11, I thought the government was really up to something, and it turned out I was right. And here we are 16 years later. Actually, I never sat behind a keyboard until after 9/11, when I started to be concerned about civil liberties and marching us off to war in Afghanistan. And I was very much in the minority back then because, you know, it wasn't like Iraq. You probably recall, Cindy, that
right.
the people who were opposed to Afghanistan, that was just like about 6 or 7% of the public. So I was very much in the minority then. And so it's been very discouraging to have this same warlike profile from both Democrats and Republicans alike, and to see Obama slide by through 8 years with keeping us at war the entire time. And actually, I'm very enthusiastic about the way people are so energized by the Trump administration and have come out into the streets, and, you know, people's voices are being heard. And it's very for someone who's been, you know, kind of watching every little thing that Obama has done behind his image of being the great peacemaker and orator and stuff like that, it's been very discouraging not to see protests, any anti-war demonstrations, any things, you know, like any signs out, just any sort of obstacle or dissent at all. So I'm very enthusiastic about what's happening right now.
We're going to talk about that. You wrote an article recently, Double Standards, Where Were the Liberal Protesters During Obama's Wars? But, mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple things that you've been writing a lot lately. You've been posting a lot of articles on Counterpunch. And for someone who didn't write before 9/11, you've really evolved into a really good writer that not only can give us the facts, but give us you know, perspective on these issues and a humanist perspective. You, obviously, you care about these issues and what you're writing about, and you care about not just people here in the United States, but people around the world who are harmed by the United States.
You know, very much so, but, you know, not having any background in journalism, I think, kind of holds you back to some extent. So I try to back up a lot with what I say. You know, I never make it just an opinion piece. I try to have
right.
a lot of facts in there from, citations to either major media things or things I've found on the blogs that I think would people would find interesting and verify like what I'm saying, so they just don't have to listen to Mike Whitney Landscaper, you know, kind of postulating what the world is like or something. But, I do care about what's happening very much so, and so much that I've kind of devoted all my time to it now. But, you know, like yourself, I don't have any, I can't speak for you, but I don't come from some strict ideological background. You know, like I wasn't, I'm not well-versed in Marxism or something like that, and a lot of people on the left really have that kind of that framework they can lean on. I don't. I just kind of go with my heart and try to intelligently analyze the material as much as possible. And I get the stories wrong sometimes, you know, but I think the people who have followed my writings know that I give it my best shot, and I try, you know, if there's not a lot of talent there, at least there's honesty. So you can count on that.
Well, your articles are very compelling. I think you do have a lot of raw talent, so don't sell yourself short. But you were talking about 9/11, 2001. You began to believe that something very wrong was going on. So then we had, you know, 8 years of the Bush administration. It was obvious to many people that there was many things wrong with the United States. Then 8 years of the Obama administration, and not so much anymore. Obama was essentially carrying on the imperial project as well as Bush did. Did you, before Obama was elected and went into office, did you have any hope that he would be different?
I never voted for Obama, and I'll tell you why. I got, you know, all kinds of flack from my wife and my kids and my friends and everything else because, you know, most of my friends are liberal or progressive or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
After I had seen, you know, you have to remember back before he had even taken office, he had already assembled his economics team. So he already had Geithner, he already had Summers, he already had a number of people who were responsible for the crash assembled on his team. He had already made his declaration that Afghanistan, we're going to continue with this because Afghanistan is the good war, not the bad war. And there were just a number of things that I thought, you know, and then when he threw his friend who baptized his children, Jeremiah Wright, under the bus,
right,
because it looked like it was the politically expedient thing to do, I said, this guy, I mean, I'm kind of big on loyalty. And I just thought, you know, that was really, you know, just didn't cut it with me. So I just thought, you know, I can't vote for this guy. So actually, I wrote in Hugo Chavez.
Nice. Yeah. I know everybody was like, Obama's a socialist. And I would say, I wish he were a socialist. I actually might support him. And instead of having this imperial agenda, he would be, socialism is not imperialist. And so to me, that would have been awesome if he were a socialist along the lines of Hugo Chavez.
Some of the disappointments from Obama go beyond the drone war and Killing Tuesdays and, you know, the bigger issues, and just get down to some of the smaller failings. Like, why didn't he do anything to help the women and children who were being poisoned by lead poisoning in Flint, Michigan?
Right.
Why didn't he help the people who were in Scott Walker's Wisconsin, who were fighting for collective bargaining rights? I mean, a Democratic leader can't even stand up for people who are fighting for their wages and benefits and retirement. I mean, just inexcusable stuff like that. I mean, a card check, which was another little thing he could have thrown to the unions. So, I mean, he was so articulate and his oratory was always so impressive, you know, and he looked like the athlete and he was so polished in his remarks. But I mean, disappointment doesn't even cover it. I mean, he paved the way. Without Barack Obama, there is no Donald Trump. So I just see that he paved the way for the huge, disastrous mess we're in today.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to remind people, you're listening to the People Speak Radio, and I'm your host, Indy Sheehan. We're speaking to Mike Whitney. If you have a question or comment for me or my guest, you can call 888-429-5971. That's 888-429-5971. And this show will be archived at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox also. So, Mike, Russia is a hot topic right now. But before we get into that, I really want to talk about your article that I think was posted today on Counterpunch called Worst Joke Ever, U.S. Spy Chief Gives Saudi Prince Highest Award for Fighting Terrorism, and quote, fighting terrorism, end quote. And the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, used his first trip abroad, this is from your article, to present Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef with the CIA's highest award for fighting terrorism, the George Tenet Medal. And then you go into Saudi Arabia's part in 9/11. Can you talk about why you call it the worst joke ever? Oh, worst joke ever? Question mark.
Well, I mean, when you've completely changed your orientation for the last 15 years and told everyone, let's be serious about this. We're in a war on terror, so we have to restrict our civil liberties. We have to have this perpetual war. We have to increase the powers of the executive, all these compromises and sacrifices that people are making. And then you go and you have the CIA chief giving essentially an Oscar to the guy who is running the intelligence agency that he could identify every major donor of terrorism in Saudi Arabia. You know that. And you're giving mm-hmm. him an award, not even an award, the highest award that you produce, which is the George Tenet Medal. I mean, it just makes it laughable. But it shows, once again, the culpability of the media, because you have to find this on Arab media or at the blog site, not the New York Times, not the Washington Post. I mean, you obviously find the story interesting. I find it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
American readers would obviously find this story interesting just from the duplicity and the hypocrisy angle, which is why they don't want it there. They don't want you to read the New York Times and think, oh, wow, what a bunch of phonies we are. Why are we giving these guys the award? There were 15 of the 19 people who crashed into the Twin Towers were from Saudi Arabia. And we know about their funding the illicit jihadi groups and al-Qaeda in Syria, and we know they've been involved in those kinds of goings-on with us since way back in the 1970s when they, you know, funneled their money to bin Laden and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. So this is a long history. And, you know, it makes you kind of scratch your head and go, well, what is the CIA exactly? I mean, what's our relationship to the Saudis? And all I can come up with is that they're basically subcontractors who do
right.
the kind of work that we don't want to do because there might be bloody fingerprints that lead back to Langley, so we kind of shunt it off in someone else's direction. But and that's the nature of the business, and that's why the 28 pages were omitted for 15 years from the 9/11 report. So
the 28 pages that talked about Saudi involvement.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I trust they tried to minimize what those pages said. But I mean, if you read them, there's a pretty clear indication that people either in the government or very higher up in the Saudi establishment, are major funders of terrorism.
Well, and then so Hillary Clinton, I mean, isn't the Clinton Foundation, wasn't it supported heavily by Saudi Arabia?
Very much so. And even so, we have the memos that, one of the memos is there that WikiLeaks has produced saying that, she was very clear about Saudi support for terrorism. And, of course, she never went public with that. We had to get it off WikiLeaks. So the exact nature of the relationship is still kind of foggy. I mean, it's not like, you know, they get a check from the Clinton Foundation and go do something. It's very murky, but there is obviously a connection. But my point is that if there is a war on terror, then the only way we're going to get to it is not by, interrogating or killing individual terrorists. We have to look carefully at these relationships, these shadowy relationships between the intel organizations and the Saudis, because this is basically the petri dish from which all this stuff emerges.
We're going to be going to a break pretty soon, but I think we still have time because this leads into the next point I want to discuss with you. Before we went on the air, you sent me a video from Fox News, and apparently Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Ohio, who was literally, what do they call that? When they redraw the lines, gerrymandered out of his seat. he's a contributor for Fox News now, and it appears like he might be the token left winger on Fox News. But today, General Michael Flynn was forced to resign from the national security. He's a national security advisor. And in that video, Dennis Kucinich basically says, watch out, watch out for the deep state, the CIA, and people who, SCIA, et cetera, and people who want to cash in on tensions between the U.S. and Russia. So what do you think, what is your opinion about this whole, and we're going to talk more about the media and Russia when we get back from the break, but what's your opinion on this Michael Flynn? Dennis Kucinich seems to think that, it was the CIA who wanted that information leaked to the press.
Exactly. Actually, there were 9 leakers from individually different intelligence organizations. That's what we find out in the Washington Post. But just to summarize before break, what Kucinich would underscore what he's saying, he's essentially saying that right now we are undergoing a coup in this country, and that the deep state figures aligned with the CIA are leaking this information to the media to create this big cause célèbre that is going to eventually, you know, impeach the president. And so essentially, you know, I mean, Kucinich is as far to the left as you can get, so you don't have to, I don't have to defend his bona fides. He obviously is not a Trump favorite. But the thing is that he doesn't like the fact that this secretive organization is repealing the election results and basically saying, well, we don't like the way the election turned out, so we're going to get rid of this guy and appoint someone else. And I think, am I mistaken in that, Cindy, or is that the way you see it too?
No, I mean, completely. I think that it does look like ever since Trump was elected, it seems there's been a coup in progress.
Yeah, and I can't say I regret it that much, because when I look at the Wall Street, Goldman Sachs people he's appointed, and I look at the beating the environment is going to take, and I look at his warlike attitude towards, you know, towards just about everyone. Most concerning is the one with Iran, but I mean, he's been hostile towards Mexico, Australia, just like everyone. So, I mean, he's kind of a loose cannon. But by the same token, I don't respect the idea that these people who lost the election, and I would call it the basically the hidden establishment that owns everything in this country and secretly want to take it back by removing this guy who's not doing their handiwork as far as Russia, I don't like the idea that they feel like they can just overturn the election results.
Well, and if the liberals, like, we don't like Trump, nobody here likes Trump, but who do they want? Would they rather have Clinton? Clinton, who would be all in favor of fomenting these hostilities against Russia?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you entirely. And it's going to be even worse than that, because we're going to wind up with Pence, who's going to do everything they tell him to, because he's always been their puppet. So I think that's, they're thinking beyond this flap with Flynn, and they're already talking. I don't know if you've heard this today, because it's just been all Flynn 24/7. And they're now talking about connecting Trump. What did Trump know, and when did he know it? And maybe we can drag him into this mess. And, you know, I mean, it's astonishing how in 24 hours and the people they have on their side, I mean, they have Warner and Richard Burr and Mark Warner, the two Senate guys and head of the Intelligence Committee, who are going to be conducting the investigation. They have Mitch McConnell, okay, the head of the Senate, and, you know, supposedly one of the GOP faithful to Trump is right away saying, yeah, we need an investigation here. And you're thinking, when was the last time you saw, the head of the Senate throwing one of his own president,
right,
from his own party under the bus? I mean, this is almost like unprecedented. And so
we're going to take a short break now, Mike. So stay tuned with us and we'll be right back. And you're listening to the People Speak Radio with your host, Cindy.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Okay, so welcome back to the People Speak Radio. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and hopefully I will be your host from now on until whenever. And we're talking to Mike Whitney, author, and Mike posts a lot on Counterpunch. So I'd like, go to Counterpunch and search Mike Whitney's name, and you'll get a long list of articles that he's written. So, Mike, welcome back to this side of the break.
Thank you.
And so let's not get off of this Russia hostility kind of propaganda that's going on. I just think it's amazing. I'm old enough to remember the Cold War and all of the propaganda against the Soviet Union and really all of the posturing and the fear-mongering, which seems to be, it started with Obama, right? I think that when Obama was prevented from going into Syria, basically by Putin, I think that's when all of the Russia fear-mongering, Putin, we're supposed to hate Putin and blame him for everything. I think that's when that started. But it seems like we talked about if liberals don't want, or Democrats, don't want Trump, did they want Clinton, who basically, would have, I think, my opinion, would have brought us closer to World War III. So would these liberal Democrats rather have World War III than have a Republican in office?
No, you're absolutely right, because remember, Hillary was talking about safe zones. Well, safe zones in Syria essentially meant we were going to cordon off certain areas that we would control. Parts of, it's like saying that, well, we're going to come into the United States and we're going to take over California and Massachusetts and we're going to allow all these people that are refugees to stay there and basically, usurp that part of the property. Well, that was going to put us in direct confrontation with Russia, who is, of course, defending its own ally, and they want to maintain the same borders and basically maintain the sovereign integrity of the of Syria. So that would put us, nose to nose with Russia. But the bigger issue that it was Hillary Clinton who actually came up with the term pivot to Asia in a speech that she gave to the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is really the crux of the matter, because people can't make sense of what's happening vis-a-vis Russia if they just read all this stuff about, Putin is Hitler, Putin is a thug, Putin is in the KGB, and all this demonization of Putin. I mean, this same treatment has been given to Saddam, to Assad, to Gaddafi, on and on and on. We've seen this so many times before. People need to engage their critical thinking skills and realize that he's being demonized for a particular reason, a particular geopolitical reason. We have every interest in moving our corporations, our Wall Street investment banks, everything else into Central Asia and surrounding China so we can control their growth and being a big player in the most prosperous and most populous place in the next century. And that's what this is all about. That's why NATO has kept expanding, taking over 13 of the former Russian satellite states and moving relentlessly towards Russia's borders. And now we have troops and tanks and, you know, anti-aircraft and every other sort of thing on Polish borders. And so we are really a very dramatic threat to Russia. So, you know, all Putin has done is, you know, created an obstacle to this movement east. And you see, the United States doesn't like obstacles. I mean, they just roll them down. That's what happened in Iraq. That's what happened in Afghanistan. That's what happened in Libya. So for the first time since, I would say, World War II, or, well, the Vietnam War, let's say the Vietnam War, the United States has met an unmovable force. So that's why he's being demonized, is because he is obstructing the United States' plan to become a big player in the great game in Central Asia.
Well, to me, one of the most bizarre accusations, and this is when I initially contacted you, your article way back on December 12th was called "The Democrats' Russia Hacking Campaign is Political Suicide." And my first question is, would it be so bad if the Democrats committed suicide? But that's just a rhetorical question. And my second question is, it's absolutely baseless. These accusations that Putin or Russia caused Trump to win and Clinton to lose. Talk about what you spoke about in that article.
You know, I don't know who said it, but they described the Democratic Party as the place where progressive ideas go to die. And I think that basically sums it up pretty well. The Democrats,
and movements like the anti-war movement, Occupy Wall Street movement, Black Lives Matter movement. I think that they get co-opted by the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and I'm very concerned that they're going to co-opt all this enthusiasm and this vitality that we see right now, that people are out in the streets, people are at the airports, people are protesting, people are engaged, and everyone is reading everything. My wife was telling me just yesterday, you know, up to this point, no one ever talked about politics at school, you know, and now everyone talks about politics all the time. So people are really engaged and are really following what's going on. Unfortunately, you look at the Democratic Party, what have they learned from the most stunning defeat in their history? They've learned nothing. Instead of looking at the red state expanse that crosses the country now and saying, those people used to be our guys. Now they're voting Republican. Why is that? We need to get working class people back on board. You know what they're saying instead? They're running around with their hair on fire yelling, the Russians, the Russians, the Russians. This is a party that you can't help. They're just like driving off the cliff. They don't learn from their mistakes, and it's just infinitely frustrating to even see them implode like they are right now. I mean, even now, name one of them that you even respect. I don't respect any of them. I mean, no. I just retch every time I see Nancy Pelosi, who is supposed to be the great liberal redeemer. And she's, what has she done?
Well, Mike, in 2016, the Democrats ran the worst candidate. But she was supported by every single establishment entity, the media, Wall Street, the war machine. I would think that she would be the first candidate that was supported by all of these establishment entities that actually lost. So Clinton lost, and she lost pretty badly. But like you said, instead of like looking at that and evaluating it, they want to have this ridiculous story about Russia. But the Russia idea is already out there. The Russia being the bad guy. There's a red Soviet under our beds and in our closets. It's already a well-established fear here in the United States.
It is. So it was very easy to tap into it. The only thing is that it was, you know, it's extraordinary to think that you have these stories, Russia hacked our election, Russia hacked our election, in all the major media. And they think that if they repeat it, that somehow that produces some evidence. And if you look at the people on the Internet writing about this, Robert Perry, Pepe Escobar, all these people that have very stellar reputation, they're saying, there's no evidence. There's no corrupt. This is all unsourced material. People just starting this fear campaign built on total demagoguery. Even now, months after the original allegations, They have nothing concrete. Have you seen anything concrete?
Nope.
No.
Well, it's also Clinton actually, there is proof that Clinton actually stole the primaries. Nobody, they're not talking about that.
Well, yeah, and of course, everyone, you hear from everyone about the superdelegate slap, which is makes the Democratic Party less Democratic than right. the Republican Party, because their outsider won, whereas our outsider, Bernie, had no chance. So, and obviously he would have been the better candidate. You know, they just are so arrogant. They shoved her under our nose and said, take it or leave it. And too many people, I mean, was it Trump who won, or is it the people at the base of the Democratic Party were so lacking in energy they didn't even go to the polls? That's what really happened, I think.
Well, what I maintain, Mike, is I'm not as excited about, I think that these people who are protesting at airports and the Women's March and things like that, I think they're not so much woken up as stirred up. They're being stirred up. And I think they're already being used by the Democratic Party. But we go to the article that you published on January 26 called Double Standards, Where Were the Liberal Protesters During Obama's Wars? We talked about, you know, how the establishment is blaming Russia for Clinton's loss. But, you know, I maintain that a big reason she lost, and you said it was because Obama paved the way for Trump, which I agree. Bush paved the way for Obama. Clinton paved the way for Bush. And we can go back on and on and on. But I think also that if the Democrat liberals had gone out in big numbers before the election, like they did after the election, it might have made a difference. You know, I saw more protest. I've seen more protest of Trump before he was even inaugurated than I did of Obama for the whole 8 years he was president.
True. So are we on the same page? I mean, are you just saying that people were not energized by Hillary or what?
Well, yeah, but then when Hillary lost, then the outpouring of protests against Trump. So are people more anti-Republican than being for these issues, or were they just like assumed that Clinton already had it in the bag?
I think they assumed that she had it in the bag. I mean, to me, and here's Clinton changing her story for the sixth time and saying, well, you know, the Republican hacking really hurt me, when in fact, what she said right after the election was closest to, was most accurate, which was when James Comey, the FBI director, said that they were going to reopen the investigation into the Clinton Foundation. That basically, a lot of the people who were sitting on the fence, and this is why I think that, you know, if anyone threw the election, it was James Comey, because if anyone moved the dial ever so slightly in Trump's favor, it was him, because I think that people who were skeptical about Clinton to begin with just thought, what, am I going to vote for someone who's going to be under investigation from day one? And I think that threw a lot of uncertainty into the race. I don't know what impact the Russian hysteria could have had. I just mm-hmm. don't know if that impacted people at all. It seemed to me that all the surveys I saw that were taken the day before the election pointed to the economy as the number one issue. But so I don't know, but you would just imagine that after a stunning defeat like that, that they would collect themselves and say, you know what, we can see the mistakes we made, and we're going to point this party in a different direction. No, they're absolutely going, still just got the whole machine pointed towards the cliff, and that's where they want to take us. And I'm just saying, somehow we have to have a third party, because this is not working.
Right. Well, you know, I was never a Bernie Sanders supporter, because I already am in a third party, and I belong to the Peace and Freedom Party here in California. But you would think that the Democrats, seeing all of the energy for Sanders and his ideas, you think they would be moving closer to that. that kind of a paradigm instead of just like instead circling the wagons, Russia, blah, blah, blah. And so if Comey was going to investigate Clinton or talking about it, what's happened since the election? I haven't heard anything about any further investigation into Hillary Clinton. Have you?
No. He recanted again. He changed. I mean, the man is just a political animal, and that's why, you know, the investigation right now into Michael Flynn, the advisor for Trump, why that's so suspicious is because, you know, the House Intelligence Committee guy, Devin Nunes, he's saying that he wants the FBI to tell him what's going on, and he better have a good excuse for why the Flynn's phone was being tapped, because, you know, that's a serious thing to get the chief national security advisor and to have 9 different intelligence agencies tapping his phone. So, you know, I mean, he just better have some a good excuse in that regard. So,
well, and then right. And so when the CIA came out with that report about Russia, not just the CIA, but, you know, whatever, 16 intelligence agencies, and I use the term intelligence loosely, came out and said that Russia did influence the U.S. elections without any proof of that at all, then we see liberals like defending the CIA and all of these terrible agencies who have wrought havoc around the world for decades. And so all these Democratic liberals are going, oh, see, the CIA even said it. And my question is, when has the CIA was actually instituted to lie and to murder? And so
exactly.
Why all of a sudden are we supporting the CIA when Dennis Kucinich warned us on that interview you sent me about the deep state?
Yes, exactly. When are you, you know, it seems like the Democrats are getting all huffy and puffy, you know, defending the credibility and the integrity of the CIA. You're thinking, what?
Mm-hmm.
The kind of people who conducted secret wars or, you know, black sites or all these different things around the world forever.
Assassinations, coups, just the drug trade,
And they're saying, Trump is saying, oh, he's casting aspersions on them. What a terrible thing. I mean, it's really gotten Orwellian, you know, it's just so bizarre right now. So how do you see this thing shaking out? I mean, if Trump prevails, we lose. If he's impeached, we lose. If the Democrats take over, we lose. This is not a very good scenario. I'm not sure how this all hashes out, but it just sounds like, unless there's a lot of involvement and grassroots activity and some organization that can funnel that energy into a political direction that can make some constructive change, things are going to get pretty bleak.
Well, I mean, your question about the Democrats committing political suicide, Donald Trump is obviously shaking up the Republican Party, and the Democrats are slowly committing this suicide. And so, but we're looking at the top of the top of the echelon. We're not looking at the grassroots. What are the grassroots thinking? I see the Democratic grassroots, like you question, where were they during Obama's wars? You know, I see them purely partisan. I see them only protesting Trump because these issues look at, they're protesting Trump and his immigration, you know, his immigration stance, when Obama deported more immigrant workers and immigrants than any of the presidents before him. I didn't see them out protesting that. We have to stop relying on partisan politics in the grassroots. We have to be totally nonpartisan. We have to start talking about, this might be good for the United States, but what about the 7 billion other people who are mostly being harmed by the U.S. empire?
Absolutely.
And channeling that is just going to take education and like never giving up and never stop telling the truth like you do. Well, Mike, do you want to talk about the book that you participated in and tell my listeners about it and how our listeners and how they can get more information about it or perhaps get a copy?
Well, you know, it's called Hopeless, and it almost seems dated now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was written quite a while ago, but just go to counterpunch.org, and, you know, it's listed there, and it's listed by any of the people who contributed to it. The Jeffrey St. Clair is the editor of Counterpunch, but, you know, you can go there, and you'll find a list of other books that that I haven't been in, but I'm sure you'll find something that you'll want to read. And that's about it. And I'm not a very good pitch man, am I?
Well, you know, and I don't know if it's dated because I remember when Obama was inaugurated and I still wanted, you know, naively wanted George Bush to be held accountable. And I was told that, you know, why am I focusing on George Bush? Because he's not president anymore. Obama's president. And now the different people are telling me I should stop focusing on Obama because now Trump is president, but it's almost like we can't forget about history or recent history. We can't, it's not about Bush or Obama or about Trump. It's about the system. And that's what we have to oppose, but we can't oppose the system unless we highlight the hypocrisies and contradictions of the system.
Oh man, you really summed that up perfectly, because I mean, that really strikes me personal, too, because I had a number of friends, and we were, you know, always on the same page politically until Obama came along. And I said, well, you know, look at this and look at this. And, you know, the deportation thing, twice as many people, over 3 million people were deported. Families were broken up under Obama. And he always flew under the radar. The guy was the Teflon president. And mm-hmm. It was just very irritating. But my liberal friends, I mean, we get together and it's like, oh yeah, but what a great speech, or what about this? And, you know, his, you know, kind of visionary sweep of the hands and jumping up onto the stage with his sleeves rolled up. And of course he looked great and he was the superstar, but the stuff he was doing was just inexcusable, bombing wedding parties and hospitals and, you know, drone attacking this guy and that guy and, you know, wars here and supporting jihadis here and neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And I mean, it was just a horrible mess. And there was, again, there was no one there. And so when I wrote that article, one of those good friends actually contacted me. Yeah, but look at Trump now. You got to stop living in the past, man.
Right.
He's living in the past. I'm just telling you how we got here, you know. So
we just should have collective amnesia and just you know, do whatever the mass media wants us to do, or the political party of your choice, and don't analyze. Well, Mike, I think the show's over at 6:55, so we have one more minute. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to the People Speak Radio on BBS Radio Network, and we've been talking to Mike Whitney. Like I said, go to Counterpunch and read all his amazing articles. Keep up the good work, Mike, and thank you for being on the People Speak.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.